Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come and flood this place and fill the atmosphere. I'd like to see that. I don't know about you guys. I think I could stand a taste of that. You know, I think sometimes it's easy for us to say, you know, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here among us in our midst. And Jeff asks this question on occasion, is the Holy Spirit welcome here? Well, that's different. When the Holy Spirit comes in, things change. And I have a few things that I need to share about the Holy Spirit this morning. This isn't an exhaustive study on the Spirit of God. If Jeff was to preach a sermon series on the Holy Spirit, it would take a number of weeks. So I've just got some random thoughts that I hope if we put these random thoughts together, I hope they make sense. But I just feel like I need to share a few thoughts about the Holy Spirit this morning. Is everybody okay with that? Say amen. Amen. And if you're not okay, you can quietly slip out as I pray. So I'll just leave. No, seriously, love for you to stay. Let's pray. God, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you for his work in my life. I thank you for the precious gift that he is. I thank you that we don't have to do this on our own. I'm grateful that you didn't leave us as orphans. I thank you for that presence. I thank you for the power that comes with that. And Father, I ask that you help us to tap into that. The bottom line is, Lord, we need you. Whether we think we do or not, we need you. Holy Spirit, we need you. And you are welcome here. You're absolutely welcome here. In Jesus' name, amen. There's some common theological agreements that I just want to share about the Holy Spirit real quick before we get into the points of the sermon. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is a person. He is not an it. He's not an influence. He's not some kind of aura. The Holy Spirit is a person. Can we agree on that, everybody? Say amen. The Holy Spirit has always existed. He's always been. He's part of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is Jesus. God is Jesus. God is the Holy Spirit. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Holy Spirit. It's the Trinity that has always existed. He is recorded in Scripture. He's recorded in the book of Genesis. At creation, he's hovering, he's brooding over, that's a great King James word, brooding over the waters. He's there, he's active, waiting for God to speak so he can be involved in the creation process, I guess. And we also find him in the book of Revelation. I mean, he's all through Scripture. He's always existed. He is in the Bible. In the Old Testament, I've heard it said this way, and I like this term. The Holy Spirit was in a visitation culture in the Old Testament. I mean, he would come and visit people for certain things. He wouldn't necessarily come and stay. I'm reading through the Old Testament. I've just got through Exodus. I'm in the Leviticus. Man, y'all pray for me. I'm trying to get through Leviticus. It's a tough book. There's not a whole lot of Bible studies on Leviticus. I'm not quite sure why, but good stuff. It's just hard to get through the law. But, you know, God gave Moses plans to build the tabernacle, this worship center, and all the furnishings and the altar, and he says, do it exactly this way. And I'm thinking, Moses is like, golly, how do I duplicate your heart, God? And well, what God did, he gave the Holy Spirit to a couple of people to help accomplish that task. And it looks like the Holy Spirit visited those people, and then when they were through the task, he left. And we see that all throughout the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's not a visitation culture, praise the Lord, it's a habitation culture. And he comes and he stays and he dwells inside of us. And we need him. I need him. And he lives in us. All of him lives in us. I mean, when I received the Holy Spirit in 1981, when I got saved, I got all the Holy Spirit, I believe. I believe Scripture teaches that. I didn't get a portion. Now, that doesn't matter. That doesn't mean that I don't have encounters with him that maybe are a little deeper along the way, but I believe we get all of the Holy Spirit when we're born again. I don't believe there's a teenage version of the Holy Spirit. I don't believe there's a children's version of the Holy Spirit. I don't think there's a junior Holy Spirit running around. You know, when my daughter got saved at age 8, I'm absolutely convinced that the same Holy Spirit that dwelt in me dwelt in her in fullness at that point. We get all of him. And you know, even though he lives inside of us, and for me this was this way for a lot of years, he's a stranger to a lot of us, is he not? I mean, he's mysterious. We'll never fully understand what he's about, what he's like, his function, but he's a stranger to a lot of people. And he lives inside of us. And he can go undetected, seem like, for years. Maybe he's dormant for 10, 15, 20 years in some people's lives that are born again. You know, if I'm going to have somebody come, if Carlene and I are going to have somebody come live at our house, I mean, we're renting out a room. We've got a room to rent out, but we're not renting it out, so don't come to us and say, I'd love to move in with you. You know, I wouldn't just take the first person off the street and say, yeah, come on in. Love to have you. I mean, we're going to do some research on that person. They're going to have to fill out some kind of application. You know, what's their lifestyle like? What's their financial situation? You know, we're not going to just let some stranger come live in our home. And yet, for a lot of us, I fear, not us, but the church in general, I believe we're walking around powerless because the Holy Spirit lives in us and he's an absolute stranger to us. So there's three things I want to share this morning, 3 points. And again, this is not an exhaustive study on the Spirit of God. Just 3 things that I prayed through and I believe God wants me to share this morning. We're going to look at his role in us, okay? And then we're going to look at our response to him being in us. And then we're going to look at our role as he leads us. So the first point is we're going to look at his role in us. If you're taking notes, I want you to jot these verses down if you're taking notes. John 14:16. John 14:16. John 14:26. John 14:26, John 15:26, John 15:26, and John 16:7. John 16:7. In those verses, depending on your version of the Bible, the Holy Spirit is referred to as a helper, a comforter, a counselor. And I'm not sure why I'm doing that. Do I need to move this down? Maybe. Bugging me. It's got to be bugging y'all. He's referred to as a helper, the comforter, counselor, or an advocate. In every instance of that, those words being used, the Greek word there is paraklete or parakletos. And you can just do the best you can to spell that if you're taking notes. And that word literally means to be summoned to one's side. Okay. That means to be summoned to one side, which a better, broader definition of that is to aid someone. A paraclete or a parakletos is someone who aids someone who pleads another's cause in front of a judge, a counsel for the defendant, an intercessor, or an assistant. So we have Scripture defining who the Holy Spirit is. He's our helper. You know, he's our advocate. He's for us. He's not against us. He is our counselor. He's our comforter. Anybody ever need comforting? The Holy Spirit's very good at that. He's very good at that. He aids us. He's, like I said, he's for us. He intercedes for us. He assists us. And he is for us. And, you know, God knew that we couldn't do this on our own. I don't know about you, but I've tried to do this on my own, and it's been a train wreck, to be honest. And so God gives us the Holy Spirit to help us, to guide us, to lead us. And just like we can't do it on our own, the disciples couldn't do it on their own, and Jesus gave the Holy Spirit, or God sent the Holy Spirit to them because he knew that he would need them, or they would need him. So here's some of the things that the Holy Spirit does as our helper, comforter, counselor, or an advocate. If you want to jot these down, you can as well. Romans 8:26, he helps us pray. Romans 8:26, he helps us pray. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just get stuck in my prayer life. Anybody out there kind of get stuck? I don't know where to start. I haven't prayed in 6 or 7 days, and I just don't know where to begin. So I'm hoping that because I'm inadequate in my prayer life at that point, that maybe the Holy Spirit's interceding for me. I hope He is. And I think we can even ask Him to do that. Holy Spirit, I just don't know how to pray. I don't know what to pray for. This situation is just above me, beyond me. You know what needs to happen. Would you intercede for us? Intercede for me. The Holy Spirit prays for us, Romans 8:26. John 14:26, He brings Scripture to mind. John 14:26, He brings Scripture to mind. And there's sometimes I'm visiting with somebody, praying with somebody, and all of a sudden this verse I haven't thought of in a long time, it just pops into my head. And it seems to be applicable to our situation, the situation I'm visiting with somebody about. And I may not know the address of that verse. I'm terrible about that. But man, here comes this Scripture, and the Holy Spirit just brings it to mind because He wants to use that, hopefully, to help that person. So He brings Scripture to mind, John 14:26. John 16:13, He guides us into what is true. John 16:13, He guides us into what is true. And there's never been more of a time in our nation for us to really know what's true. I mean, we've got to know what's true. And culture is butting heads with Scripture. Culture's butting heads with God. There's a clash there. There's a spiritual battle behind it. It's spiritual in nature. And we have to know what's true. I mean, if culture says this is true, we need the Holy Spirit to let us know if that's really true or not. Man, we need Him to reveal truth to us. John 16:13, He guides us into what is true. 1 John 2:27, He anoints us. 1 John 2:27. He anoints us. And that word to anoint means to give a special endowment. In the Old Testament, the Levites were the tribe that served at the tabernacle. And every one of them had a function. Some of them played musical instruments. Some of them carried the tabernacle when they moved from place to place. They carried the furnishings when they moved. But only a chosen few, only the high priest and his immediate family had the right or the endowment to minister forgiveness through animal sacrifices or minister fellowship through grain sacrifices or the sacrificing of birds. Only a chosen few had the opportunity to do that. They had this special endowment. In the New Testament, every one of us have that right. Every one of us are ministers of reconciliation because we have that anointing. We have that special endowment given to us by God through the Holy Spirit. And that's just a short snapshot of His role in us. There's a lot more things that He does. He convicts. We don't like that role, but He convicts us, but it's for our good. So many things that the Holy Spirit does. That's just a few of them. And so that's His role. And the second point I'd like to cover is our response to Him as He interacts with us. Our response to Him. And how do we respond to Him? We yield to Him. We yield to Him. And like I said, I believe that we have all of Him. When I got saved, I believe I've got all the Holy Spirit. The problem is that the Holy Spirit doesn't have all of me sometimes. We have all of Him, and our problem is that He does not have all of us. And He comes to fill us. He loves to do that. He wants to do that. Ephesians 5:18 says, our part is to be filled with Him, to yield to the Holy Spirit. And this word fill means to fill something, a container, perhaps a liquid container, fill it to the brim, fill it to the top. To where if you put one more drop in that container, it runs over the side. That's the intent of that particular word, that Greek word, which I don't know. I don't know if you guys ever stopped at Sonic, or this happened to me Thursday. We were at Whataburger getting something to eat, and I don't know, it's Rick and Carolyn's, anywhere you might stop to get a drink where they fill your cup up too full, and then they put this the lid on top of it, and you're looking at that thing, and it's rounded at the top. And I think they do that on purpose, hoping that, they can watch you stab your straw into it where that liquid just goes all over the place. And I've done that before out of experience, all over my clothes. And so I was a little wiser this time. I opened the door and poured some out on their property and went ahead and put my straw in. That's it. I mean, that's the intention of us being filled with the Spirit. I mean, it's just, you can't get any more of that in that vessel, in that container. That's the intent of us being filled with the Spirit. God wants that for us. The Holy Spirit wants to do that for us. And our part in that is that we need to yield to Him and allow Him to fill us. Like I said, I got saved in, and it was, for me, a radical thing. I mean, it's not like everybody's salvation experience is not radical, but it was radical for me. I went to church, and I've shared this before. Sorry to bore you with details, but I went to church on a Sunday morning, minding my business, had no intention of getting saved, and the Spirit of God was doing what the Spirit of God does. And He was moving, He was stirring, He was convicting me. And, you know, I had to respond. I just couldn't stay in my pew. It was a Baptist church, and you can only get saved walking down an aisle in a Baptist church. I didn't know if y'all knew that or not. Now, walking down an aisle doesn't get you saved, okay? Because I did that at age 14. It meant nothing. But you can get saved walking down an aisle. So they gave an invitation, and I walked down to the front, and you know, I was a mess. And I was convicted of my sin. I was convicted of my lack of righteousness. I was convicted of judgment that was coming on me if I didn't come into relationship with Christ. And you know, I was changed. I was radically, radically changed. You know, I like to tell people I walked in that building that morning a child of the devil, and I walked out a child of the King. And I've never been the same. And I'm glad that's fresh for me. I'm glad that's tender for me. So I got saved, and man, I was just, my world was turned upside down. It really was. And I know some people that get saved, and they're just, boy, they're just steady. You know, they're going to heaven. And man, I don't know. I was lit up. I just could not keep my mouth shut about what God had done for me. And so I went to my drug head buddies, and I said, man, you guys need Jesus. And they said, no, we don't. And I said, okay, I'll go find me some new friends. And so I found me some new friends. And, you know, I was kind of arrogant, young, cocky. I called people out on stuff. And, you know, I'd come to the realization, or the conclusion, not the realization, the conclusion that if you had some kind of premium TV channel piped into your house, which back in the early 80s was HBO or Showtime, that was it. Or regular cable, I just assumed they were going to hell. And I told them, I said, man, you need to cut that trash off. You're going to hell because you're watching that stuff. And they weren't going to hell. They weren't. But you know, I made some mistakes. I was kind of arrogant. I was kind of cocky, but I was really passionate about what God had done. So 1982, 83, 84, 85, 86 rolls by. We've got two kids. You know, I'm working as a firefighter for the city of Abilene. We've got 2.2 dogs. You know, it's just kind of the all-American family. And things are kind of going okay. 1987, 88, and 89 rolls around. And 89 was the most difficult year for me spiritually. I had worked myself at the church, doing my best, you know, by myself, out of my own resources to serve the Lord, and I was tired. I was tired, I was frustrated, I was angry, I was incredibly discouraged, incredibly depressed. And you know, I literally, this is true, I literally hated life. I hated my life. I hated life in general. Carlene loved life. I despised Carlene during that period of time because she loved life and I didn't. And you know, I hated to go to bed at night. I knew when I woke up the next morning, my very first thought would be sadness and despair and discouragement, and it was. And I hated to get out of bed and go through the day because I knew the cycle would just repeat the next day. And it was just going over and over and over again, and it went on for months. And there's a point that I just got tired of it. And I had a conversation with the Lord about that. I said, all right, God, I know that Jesus died for me. I know that I'm supposed to have abundant life, but is this it? Is this as good as it gets for me? Is this what I have to look forward to for the rest of my life? And the Holy Spirit was kind of communicating with me. I didn't really know that because, to be honest, we hadn't had any teaching at all about the Holy Spirit. The only time I heard his name mentioned is when we baptized somebody in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'd never heard a sermon on the Holy Spirit, no Sunday school teaching on the Holy Spirit. And so he was communicating with me, and I just sensed that God wanted me to read the book of Acts. And I'd never read the book of Acts. I'd never heard a sermon out of Acts. I'd never sat under Sunday school teaching out of Acts. And Acts was really easy for me to find. I could take my Bible, and I could hold it this direction, looking at the pages, and where the cobwebs were was the book of Acts. Because we had never cracked it. And to be honest, there was fear there. I was afraid of the Holy Spirit. I really was. And the King James Version calls him a ghost. And, who wants to be involved with a ghost? And so I just thought, okay, God, something's got to change because this isn't working. And so I started reading the book of Acts. And I got into the third chapter. And Scripture says that the disciples were filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. So as soon as I read that, I knew that's what I needed. I didn't have any joy. I was kind of afraid of the Holy Spirit, but it looked like it was a package deal. You couldn't have one without the other. And so I said, okay, Lord, I don't understand this, but I want you to fill me with joy in the Holy Spirit because what I'm doing is not working. So some time went by. It was 2 or 3 weeks, maybe even a month. And I was working part-time cleaning swimming pools, and I was off from the fire station doing that, and it was early summer. And I was driving my pickup, which I have owned some pickups that really weren't roadworthy, to be honest with you. But we were poor, and I did whatever would get me down the road, that's what I drove. None of them had an air conditioner. And so I'm driving down the road in my little pickup, windows down, and I'm driving west on 20th Street. You may or may not be familiar with that area. I cross over Willis, and I cross over Cat Claw Creek. And I know this is corny, but I didn't have a Jordan River experience. I had a Cat Claw Creek experience. And there's nothing significant about that location. But as soon as I drove over that bridge, I was overwhelmed by the presence of God. So much so, I began to weep. So much so that I had to pull over on the side of the road. I literally pulled off on the road, and I'm just weeping. Uncontrollably. I didn't speak in tongues, even though I believe that's a very valid expression of some kind of filling of the Holy Spirit. What I experienced is what I asked for. Pure joy. Nothing but joy. And it just kept washing over me. And I just continued to weep. And I don't really know how long I was there. At some point, slowed down on my weeping, I just started praising him. I just felt something rising up inside of me saying, praise me, just praise me. And so I started praising him. And then something weird happened because I'd never done this before. I just felt compelled to raise my hands toward him, which was kind of difficult because I'm in the cab in my pickup. And so literally I stuck this arm out. And this one goes out the window, and I'm just there, and I'm just praising the Lord. I don't even know how long I was there. And traffic is coming by both directions, and And people are slowing down and waving at me like, what is this guy doing? The Holy Spirit changed my life that day. And I'm not ashamed of that. I am not ashamed of that. That's what I needed. And you know, I didn't get angry, but I'm thinking, why didn't somebody tell me about this? I know I'm responsible for digging into the Word, but why did a pastor, a Sunday school teacher, not tell me about the presence of God that lived inside of me? What he could do for me? And I told the Lord years ago that if I had opportunities, I would make sure that people knew that the Holy Spirit's available. Now, there's been other times where he's filled me. Nothing's been that drastic. I don't want to try to put a label on that experience. I really don't. The Holy Spirit showed up. He knew what I needed, and he showed up. And there's been other times that filling has come because I leak. I don't know about you guys. He fills me. Boy, I leaked out. A couple of years later, I'm looking for it again, you know. That's kind of how our life goes. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you a question. What is evidence of us being filled with the Holy Spirit? Somebody tell me. What's evidence of us being filled with the Holy Spirit? Anybody?
Joy.
What else?
Peace,
love. What else? Happiness. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is evidence of us being filled with the Holy Spirit. It really is. And for me, not only did joy come, but love came. And, you know, I love Carlene more than I loved her before. And I love my kids more. And I love people more than I had before that experience. Peace came. And, you know, I literally did not sleep for months. I just couldn't get a good night's sleep, but peace came, and I was able to sleep. Kindness, I was more kind to people, my coworkers, my family. I wanted to do good things. Goodness is another fruit. I seemed to be more faithful to the Lord, more faithful to church, more faithful to Carlene and our relationship and our marriage. I started to be concerned about her needs and not so much my needs. Gentleness came. I seemed to be more of a gentle person, and self-control came. So evidence of us being filled with the Holy Spirit is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And third point, our response to being filled, and it took me a number of years to realize this, as we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not necessarily for our benefit, even though it benefits us greatly. God fills us with the Holy Spirit so we can impact other people. You know, you think about that Pentecost experience, that Pentecostal day when the Holy Spirit came. You know, you got Peter and the disciples and 100-plus people in the upper room, and they're staying there because Jesus said, don't leave, tarry, until you're clothed with power from on high. They had no idea what that meant, I'm convinced. But they're there, they're praying, they're waiting, they're talking, visiting. At some point, they decided they need to replace Judas as a disciple. And so they were rolling dice, basically, trying to figure out. They chose two men who had been with them from the start and kind of rolling dice and trying to figure out which one was Judas's replacement. And the winner was Matthias, basically. It's interesting to me that you don't hear anything else about Matthias in Scripture. His name's never mentioned again. I'm convinced that God's choice was Paul as an apostle, as a disciple. He was Judas's replacement, but they chose Matthias. So they're in this upper room, and then the Spirit of God comes, and what did they do? Did they stay in that room just rejoicing and celebrating and speaking in tongues to one another and interpreting to one another? Is that what they did? Man, they spilled out into the street. And the Spirit of God rocked that community. You know, Peter gets up, and I'm kind of envious of this. His first sermon, he preaches one lousy sermon, and 3,000 people get saved. I mean, you know, what's up with that? The Spirit of God was moving all over Peter, and he was also moving on the crowd because he convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. People begin to share their possessions with one another. They begin to sell things that they had and brought the proceeds to the apostles, laid them at their feet, and they were helping those in need. I mean, things just changed for everybody because the Holy Spirit came. And those believers, was 100, I believe it was 140, 120, I can't remember, I didn't look it up. They were filled that day, but it wasn't necessarily for their benefit. It was for the benefit of the other people in Jerusalem. You know, I'm not very good at this, but you know, God has really convicted me over the last 2 or 3 months to be more about that in my walk with the Lord, to look for people, not just in this fellowship, but outside this fellowship, that might need a touch from the Lord, to try to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And not every day, but at least on a weekly basis, and I'm trying to listen to him, I really am, and I know I miss him a lot of times. You know, it seems like he will draw me towards somebody that needs prayer. And people are incredibly open to that, I've found out. And most people that God seems to bring me into contact with is other believers. I mean, I think that's my ministry. I'm not an evangelist. You know, I very seldom lead somebody to the Lord. Jeff has led a number of people to the Lord. That's kind of his giftedness. That's not really how I'm wired, I guess. I mean, it's not that I don't have a heart for the lost. seems like if I'm effective, it's in the ministry to other believers. And so I have had opportunity to pray for people, and I try to be sensitive to what maybe God would have me do, if I'm somewhere, and HEB, Walmart, whatever, trying to be bold in that area. I take Carlene on a date every week. Her and I have a meal. We go on a date every week, and I don't want to put any pressure on you guys. I really don't. But I take her to this really nice restaurant called IHOP. Have you ever heard of that? Anyway, we eat breakfast there at 7:30 every Friday morning. That's just something we do. And it's good for us. And men, seriously, I encourage you. That's such a goofy thing to me, but Carlene loves it. She's not in the room. Don't tell her that I know that she loves it, But man, I encourage you just to do something like that spontaneous with your spouse. But anyway, we were in IHOP Friday morning, and they were really slow, and Carlene and I were seated in a booth, and we were eating, and this lady comes in by herself, and she sits behind the booth behind Carlene, and I'm watching her, and Carlene's got her back to her, and she just kind of looks sad. She really did, and I continued to visit with Carlene, and the waitress comes up, and we're talking about this sickness that's going around, this upper respiratory stuff. It's the scourge from the devil, I believe. And this lady speaks. She said, "Do you know of anybody that's had any stomach viruses?" And I had one of those 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I thought I was going to die, to be honest with you. It was a tough week for me. And I said, "Yeah, I had that." She said, "I'm just trying to get over that," and just kind of looked sad and down. And so Carly and I continue to visit as we eat, and she's looking at the menu, and I just sense the Holy Spirit wants us to pray for her. And so we get through with our meal, and she's waiting on her food, and we get up, and I introduce us to her and said, "Now, I just really sense God wants us to pray for you." And she said, "Would you please do that?" She said, "I'm sick." She said, "You know, I'm single." She was, I don't know, mid-40s maybe perhaps. She said, "I'm single. God has promised me a husband. I'm trying to be, you know, patient about that. You know, I'm a school teacher. I'm driving to Snyder every day. I live in Abilene. I'm just tired of making that trip. I want to work in Abilene." I mean, she had all this stuff going on. And Carlene made a pretty deep connection with her. And I said, "Okay, well, let us just pray for you if that's okay." She said, "Yes." She ended up being a believer. And so Carlene prays for her, and I'm just sitting there watching, and her whole countenance changed. She began to smile. It seemed like that gloom and despair was lifted. You know, God doesn't fill us with the Holy Spirit for our benefit. He fills us with the Holy Spirit for the benefit of others, even though it does benefit us greatly. Let the praise team come up, please. You know, I want to go back to the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And that fruit is, and you guys listen if you're not familiar with what it is, if you don't have it memorized, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'm going to read that again. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Why don't you go ahead and bow your heads, please? You know, as we think about that list, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, those fruit are evident of us being filled with the Holy Spirit. And there may be some in this room this morning that are not experiencing some of those things. You may not be experiencing peace or gentleness or self-control. You may be having a hard time loving. Joy may be absent. You know, Jesus says something that I'm still trying to unpackage. He said that if we are good earthly fathers and know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give us the Holy Spirit if we ask? And I don't fully understand that. I'm trying to unpackage that. But it sounds like if we're struggling in the area of the Holy Spirit being all that He wants to be in our life, we can ask. We can submit ourselves. We can surrender ourselves in that area. And He'll move. He wants to fill us. So I just want to ask you a question. If you are here this morning and any of that fruit is absent in your life, I want to pray about that for all of us. But if that fruit is absent, I'm going to ask you to do something as well. I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand and put it back down. If any of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is absent and you're not experiencing fullness this morning, I just want to ask you just to raise your hand. You don't have to keep it up. Just raise it up. God bless you, and you can drop it right back down. God bless you guys. Amen. Amen. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you, Father. I thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. God, if there's anybody here this morning that has fear of Him, that's not from you. That's from that lying devil, Father. And we stand against him this morning. Him trying to keep us from being all that Jesus saved us to be. Him trying to keep us from being all that we can be with the Holy Spirit living inside of us. So, Father, would you help us this morning experience more of you? God, you want that for us. God, I pray that love, joy, and peace just break out, Father, where it's been absent as we submit ourselves to you. That patience, kindness, and goodness, Lord, just flows because we submit ourselves to you. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control is part of our lives because we submit to you. And Father, forgive us. Forgive us for grieving the Holy Spirit. Forgive us for not walking the way He wants us to walk. Forgive us, for Holy Spirit, for grieving you in a sense of us not seeking to be filled with you. Oh, how we need you so. Help us this morning. Move in our lives. Change us from the inside out. Love you, and you are welcome here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand and worship. If you need to pray about anything, I'll be down front. Grab Jeff. Let's worship the Lord. This is
Without you. if the Holy Spirit is something you have not tasted before, as Billy said, God says to ask. So as you leave today, ask and you will be filled. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you. Don't forget the discovery class.
Without you, I'm lost without you.